Understanding words of insight. Now, I've noticed before, and I've seen it in commentaries, that actually some of these books of wisdom in the Bible, actually God doesn't get much of a mention. But that's, of course, because it's written from the perspective of a culture so founded on that understanding of the preeminence of God, that sometimes must have almost felt unnecessary. So in this opening verse, wisdom, instruction, understanding, and insight are absolutely vital issues. They're the important stuff. And these are all integral to us living out our Christian lives in harmony with the Christian gospel. We need to have moral foundations that wisdom can give us. The desire to grow in the character that comes from instruction, from us attending church, reading our Bibles, being in fellowship groups, to be able to grow with that spiritual gift of understanding, that gift of understanding, to have insight, not just worldly insight, all that is helpful, but the extraordinary gift of knowledge which God gives from time to time if we're listening carefully to his promptings. That sense that we're called to do something, it might be something small, it might be something big, it might be to take on a new role, it might be just to phone a particular person. These little gifts that come to us. And then if we read in verse 3, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. So he's fleshing out that first sentence. This wisdom will move us towards prudent behavior. I like that. I love the idea. I think maybe I need a bit more of this gift. I'm probably a little on the impulsive side, you know. Oh, yes, let's do it. Little prudence, Colin. Please, Lord, inspire a little more prudence in me. Doing what is right and just and fair. And this is surely absolutely at the core of what the wisdom of Christ is about, to throw our resources into achieving godly justice for the poor in our own nation, for the downtrodden in the world, who we prayed about earlier, for the battle against the coming climate tragedy, and to uphold the rights of the powerless, to stand with the enslaved. The wisdom that is so fundamentally displayed in the life of Jesus encompasses all of these things and so much more. You know, many of us are reading the New Testament this year. I've got a little bit behind at the moment. But it's okay. We're allowed to get behind. We're also allowed to get ahead. But, you know, I'll try and finish it by the end of the year. The stories, the Gospels, are so absolutely astonishing when you actually read them in big chunks, because you get this very different picture of Jesus when you read a whole lot of a Gospel in one go. I've done it before, but somehow I've just seen these little pictures that we tend to use in sermons and in Bible reading notes and things, but to read this whole chunk, wowzer, no messing. He was totally serious, wasn't he, Jesus? You know, he absolutely reached out in the most tremendous amount of love to those around him, but he gave the people that needed a big talking to a serious talking to, didn't hold back. Anyway, on to verse 4. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Now, interestingly, once again, there's another footnote which I want to just read out to you from about this verse. It says the Hebrew word rendered simple in Proverbs denotes a person who is gullible, without moral direction, and inclined to evil. Just definitely didn't get that from reading that word. So it's good to bear in mind the complexity of some of the stuff we're reading here. I don't think it's just the young that need discretion, guys. You know, it's not just you two up at the back there. We all need discretion, you know. Now, maybe in our world of social media, discretion is so important. You know, we can put something out there, and even writing emails. Have you ever written an email to the wrong person? Yeah, no, it's not good, especially if it's not as complimentary as it could have been. We need discretion. We need to take care. We need to take care of each other, our friends. We need to encourage. And in this crazy, broken world, that sense of wisdom is more than necessary. Verse 5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." So even if you number yourself amongst the wise, and actually that is fair enough. You know, those of us who have been Christians for ages, there is a sense in which we have absorbed all this wisdom. But that doesn't mean we can stop. In the lives of God's people, there has to be a recognition that there is never a point at which we stop learning. It, you know, just goes on. Until we reach eternity, we keep learning. And it only ends, as I say, when we embark on that journey into eternity as we cross our own personal River Jordan of death. Or, of course, Christ returns. That'd be good. Come, Lord Jesus. Verse 6. "For understanding proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles of the wise." The sayings and riddles of the wise. Well, I don't know about you, but Jesus' disciples definitely needed wisdom at times in order to understand what he was on about. As I read through some of those parables, the complexity of it, some of the basic stuff is simple, but when you actually start looking at some of the things he says, it's amazingly complicated stuff. And we need this wisdom to understand the Word of God, absolutely for sure. I don't know. I was in Luke recently. I haven't finished it yet anyway. And I came across that wonderful story of the prodigal son. Ah, we hear it so often, mostly from George. Just before it, there's this absolutely in-your-face passage. I'm like, I've never seen these two passages side by side until I read through them. And then a few days later, Jenny says, "Have you read this passage?" I'm like, "Oh, I've no idea. I just can't comprehend it." About a week later, I had a few hints, but I wouldn't say I was there. This stuff is difficult. And we need the wisdom of God. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to interpret it. Because from our 21st century perspective, it's not easy to understand at times. I'm going to ask the band to come back, if you could, while I just finish off. I'm going to touch on to verse 7 now. Of course, we know this verse really well. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And as I mentioned before, in the footnotes, it says the word "fool" denotes a person who is morally deficient. My final point today is about the need to understand that fear of God. What is it? Is it cowering before the Almighty? Well, we might have good reason for that. I mean, you know, our sin is, at times, I can't understand. How do I get myself in this mess? But actually, one of the things that's said probably as much as anything else in the Bible is do not be afraid. You know, when angels turn up, when God turns up and reveals himself to people, that do not be afraid is repeated again and again and again. So it's not, I think, that sort of cowering fear that we're supposed to have. We need to sort of maybe place ourselves again in that time and place of Solomon, not here in our know-it-all society. We need to come with that humility that they had because so little was understandable in their world. We need to come with humility and hope. And when we come to the foot of the cross and cast off our burdens, receive his forgiveness, then it's that sort of sense of awe. When we reach out to the living God in worship, you know, he stands beside us throughout our lives, everywhere we go. But then we sense his presence as we worship him sometimes. And in those moments, it's that sense of being astonished, amazed, overwhelmed sometimes by this wonderful God. As we're touched by a moment of spiritual insight, a hint from God that we accept, that moment of little hint, a gift of knowledge, a touch from the Holy Spirit, do this, phone this person. And then we realize that that person really needed to hear from us. And we knew afterwards that was God. And when we see that we really are just as the grass of the field, but God has reached out to us and is calling us onward into eternity. That sense of awe, that wonder. These are the things that bring us again and again when we are touched, when we open ourselves to be touched by the living God. That is when we know the sense of that fear, that awe, that wonder. Let us pray for a moment. Lord, we just thank you for your great love, that you're reaching out to each one of us, calling us to live wiser lives, lives that are more Christ-like, lives that are more focused upon you. Use us, we pray, to bring your good news into this broken world. Use us, we pray, your church throughout this world to bring health, healing, peace, and hope. And we just ask, Lord, that in everything we do, we may do it for you. Enable us by the power of your Spirit living in each one of us to sense that calling in every moment of our day. May we reach out to you, Lord, for hope, for justice, for discrimination of what is good and right and true. Give us wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to hand over to the band. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth.
So I invite you again to stand.